I don't think I ever really had the flu or was sick. On the flight to Indianapolis that week, I was in the airport. I was waiting for a burger to get made, and I had somebody walk into me, and it knocked on the ground. And you know, it kind of had the it had the paper on it still, Mike. And I just said, ooh, I don't think it really hit the ground, and I ate it. And I'm telling you, that's what I got.
There are certain places.
Right.
Where the five-second rule should never apply.
Never.
LaGuardia Airport is number one on the list.
We are back at the scene of the crime that resulted in
look at
Chris.
Me.
Here's
I'm trying
countdown.
To be focused.
He's
I'm
doing
like, yep,
can.
I'm professional.
Yeah, you know what? I can't. No, handle it. Because Mount Vesuvius is about to erupt, and there it went. That's never before seen footage.
There's a new angle there.
Exclusive look at the morning that Chris Sims was struggling. And I got to give you credit. You did everything you could to fight through it. You did everything you could to be here and soldier on. But nature was calling in a very specific way, and you had to answer the call.
I was really hoping not long after we left there, I go, I hope that was COVID, and I got COVID. And now I can be like, hey, I got it, and I don't need anything, right? It was kind of around that time. Not that I wanted it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and okay? I'm glad you gave it to the rest of us at the time, too.
Well, if I remember correctly, didn't you go home and, like, didn't your wife, like, not want to touch anything you touch because she was afraid that I maybe infested you?
No,
that's usual.
She's that way anyway. It was just, at least she had an excuse for it this time.
She did.
When I got home from L.A. last year after the Super Bowl, I was, like, in little mini quarantine.
You're
in
quarantined
the house,
from
in
there?
Case. Yeah, but that was 3 years ago, and that was right
Man.
Before everything turned upside
right.
down. You were here last year. I stayed home.
You stayed home.
This year, I had no choice but to show up.
Well, the new LaGuardia, you might think about now eating a burger off the floor. No, you won't. I'm just joking.
It depends on where in the new LaGuardia. Because you
There's
still
some old
do
sections.
End up in the old sections. They're just like gradually being shut down. Like, when are they going to take this out of service? But I guess they need the gates.
And
so,
then,
yes, the new LaGuardia, much nicer than the old
If
one.
Jim Harbaugh knocked it out of my hand, you would have heard about that more in depth. There'd have been a fight. That'd be way the one guy in the world that'd go, oh, you knocked that out of my hand? Let's fight. At Jim Harbaugh. Jeez.
That was great. That was a great addition.
Thank
your
you,
good
EJ.
Friend. Tell your dad I said hi.
Yeah, appreciate it.
We are here for the next 2 days at a special time, 12 to 3 Eastern, live on Peacock, live on Sirius XM85, and live on Sky Sports NFL. They were very excited. All 3 hours
awesome.
Live. So watch your language.
I will. I'll try.
Not that
you
not
just
that
spoke
it matters.
In a London accent a few minutes ago.
I
the
don't
scouting
know
if I did
combine.
Right. Wait, one more story while
sure,
we're having fun
sure.
here. Last year,
I drove through a tornado yesterday.
Whoa.
Nah, it wasn't quite that
okay,
bad. Tornado warning.
Still kind of cool. Hey, that's still.
I was looking for one.
That's gutsy.
It's like, I kind of want to see one.
Right.
And I kind of don't.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's this weird feeling
right.
like, ooh, maybe I'll see a tornado. It's like, ooh,
yeah.
ooh, maybe
but
I'll
But where
see
do
a
I
tornado.
Go if I see one?
Yeah. Just keep yeah. driving. Just speed right. up. Just go.
Do you remember last year? You just explained you weren't here, right? Last year, you caught me on the hot mic, busting your butt.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that?
I was mad at you.
I talked to him. I can't remember who
he's
it was.
He's afraid of COVID.
He's not here. He's afraid of COVID. And then I got on the show. I put my earpiece on. You were kind of giving me the cold shoulder. And I was like, what's up? And then you were like, oh, you jerk. You're tall. And I was like, I'm just joking. I was telling a guy.
Yeah. It was more than a cold shoulder. I was giving you,
yeah,
you the hot
pissed.
Italian sausage.
You were pissed. You were.
But, driving here yesterday because – by the time I'd go to Pittsburgh and fly to Chicago and back or Detroit and down, because there's no direct flight from Pittsburgh to Indy, it's like, just drive.
Yeah.
So I'm checking the – because I wasn't driving, so I was – I wasn't texting or checking my phone while I was driving. I'm in the back seat, and I'm looking at the map, and it's like severe weather alerts and click. Like, severe thunderstorm warning, okay. Tornado watch, okay. Tornado
right.
warning,
yeah.
uh-oh.
Yeah.
And that's when the – it's like, what do you do?
Right.
Everything's flat.
Right.
Where do you go? What
right.
would you do? Knock on somebody's door and say, can I hide in your basement? I mean, if you're in a car driving through an active tornado, what do you do other than drive to where the tornado isn't?
Right. Wait, or, you know, the thing I've always, like, been taught, right, you look for the overpass, right? If it came to that, like, where the overpass, and then you try to cram yourself way up in there, right? That's what I thought you'd do.
Well,
but I don't know if I'd want to go in anybody's house because, like, if it wasn't a really strong quality house, you'd be like, well, damn, this thing's going to get blown down too.
Well, that's true. Well, I wouldn't go into somebody's mobile home. I'd want to go into – do you have a basement? Question one, do you have a basement? Question two, can I hide in it? So, no hiding for anyone here today at the Scouting Combine. We have plenty of interviews on deck, some live, some taped. We already talked this morning to Terry Fontenot, the GM of the Falcons. Josh McDaniels. Great conversation with him.
Yeah, we did.
Head coach of the Raiders. Omar Khan, the GM of the Steelers, plus plenty more who will be showing up. And we have to be flexible today because you may see the podiums on the other side of the room. They come, they do their press conferences, and then they get here when they get here. And sometimes they get here when they're supposed to get here. And sometimes
they don't.
Sometimes they don't.
Right.
And sometimes two of them are here at once.
We just got to roll with it.
Sometimes we got to play rock, scissors, paper, yeah. Rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, thank you.
Which one is right?
I don't know why, for such a smart guy, you can just totally just mess
rock,
up.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Rocks, paper, scissors, shoot. All right. Damn it. All these damn thoughts you got in your brain, you can't remember the easiest thing we learned at 4 years old. Damn you.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right, the Green Bay Packers are going to be playing rock, paper, scissors Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love at some point. Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the team, spoke today. And instead of saying Aaron Rodgers is definitely our guy, Aaron Rodgers is absolutely going to be here as long as he wants to be here, we'll wait as long as we have to for Aaron Rodgers to make his decision. Gutekunst said that Jordan Love is absolutely ready to be a starter and all options are on the table with Aaron Rodgers. That's a different message.
It is.
And
that is a strong message.
At a time when there's some reporting, because look, these statements aren't made in a vacuum. There's been reporting by Bob McGinn, who covered the team for decades, that they're disgusted with him, they're done with him, they're ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers. When you say this in that environment, you're saying something, I think, very significant if you're Brian Gutekunst.
I think they're definitely going out there and telling you, hey, we're not afraid to have Jordan Love as our quarterback. They're still being held hostage by Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's the biggest problem here.
He said he's not going to, but he is.
But he's kind of getting into that time here.
He's out of his little bungalow or burrow or wherever he was. Yeah. It's time for him to let everyone know what he's going to do.
Agreed. I think if he goes any longer than the next week or 10 days, I would start to go, well, no, you're holding them hostage. Because as you've discussed and said many times leading up to this, that this is when these conversations. Derek Carr's here this week. What do you think he's here to check out the city in Indianapolis and the sites? No, he's here because they're going to talk about trade and or not trade, but where I'm going to sign. This is where these conversations start, as you've always explained so well. So yeah, you're getting to the fringe here of you are holding your team hostage, and I agree with you. I mean, it seems like when you kind of, you know, read between the lines, it does seem that way. When you talk about a great reporter that followed a team like that, he obviously knows some people within that organization still, Bob McGinn. So, yeah, those are things, and I'm not shocked to hear that. How could they be totally in love and love the situation with Aaron Rodgers? Put yourself in the Packers situation. How could they be? And how can you plan for the future or even this year? There's just so many things there that are a pain in the butt. And I'm sure they're kind of sick of that. And Jordan Love, you know, like you said last week, he showed some promise and did some good things, and they drafted him, and they probably want to see what he's got here and plan their future.
When Aaron Rodgers is playing at an MVP level, it's a no-brainer. He didn't play at an MVP level last year. They didn't make the playoffs. And he was aloof. He was disengaged. We talked about this yesterday. The brightest line you can draw is from Rodgers to Patrick Mahomes, and everything Mahomes did to get a new look, revamped receiving core ready, and everything Aaron Rodgers didn't do to get a new look, revamped receiving core ready. And if you want him back, it better be all in. It better be present for the offseason program. I mean, how many millions do you have to give a guy to get him to show up for the voluntary offseason program? I know it's voluntary, and I know that we are proponents of players doing what they have to
do. It ain't voluntary for quarterbacks that are franchise quarterbacks.
Making $60 million
this
year. So he has to ask himself, first, do I retire or do I play? Second, do I play for the Packers or do I play for someone else?
Right.
Third, do I play for who if I'm playing for someone else? Yeah. Those are the three decisions, and the Packers are part of this. And, you know, Chris, something that we've talked about, the potential for this to get awkward and ugly and delicate if the Packers are trying to steer him in a certain direction and he wants to play for a different team. We went through the exercise yesterday of which teams maybe he should want to play for. But if it comes down to that, I am a firm believer the Packers should just trade him to the team he wants to play for. If they're ready to move on, let him go to the team he wants to play for. And don't worry about it being a team in your conference or in your division. They don't have to worry about him being traded to the Vikings, Lions, or Bears at this point, I don't think.
No.
Favre, 15 years ago, yes.
He did.
Right now, no. Trade him where he wants to go. Make it easy. Accommodate him. You know, thank him for everything he's done for the team and move on.
Who were the teams that we would even evaluate right now to go? Like, I'm with you. Agreed with you 100%. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you want to move on, and a team in the NFC who you go, ooh, we maybe, if we play well, have to play them in the playoffs, okay, so be it. All right. Yeah, and you might lose that game, and you're going to have to hear about it for a little while. But you know, again, still, you won't be in the same boat again where you're going, wait, I don't know what to do for next year, and what are we going to do?
They got swept by Brett Favre in 2009, and the following year they won the Super Bowl.
And that's right. And, nobody even cares right now. Here we are 10, 12, 13 years later. Nobody cares. So I'm with you in that they should not let that be the determining factor, let alone, I think, you know, as we kind of flushed out yesterday, the only team that we brought up that we thought was even – in that type of conversation, the 49ers, which I don't think they would do that right now. You know, I wouldn't expect that. You know, Carolina's the other team we talked about.
I brought you around on Carolina.
You did. You definitely made some points there. And, you know, and of course, Derek Carr's meeting with them this week as well, which makes sense. So I'm interested to see with that. But, like, are you not going to trade him to Carolina to just go, what? I mean, what you think? I mean, okay, I don't know. There, the Saints, those seem to be the only two teams in the NFC, right, that are apparent. Am I missing somebody off the top of my head? I think that's about it.
And the Commanders are fascinating as a possibility if he'd be available and if he'd want to play for that team.
Right.
I don't know that he'd want to play for that team given the dysfunction that's currently going on. We may get to that coming up here later in the program. But if you're looking for a one-year destination, then maybe that's a place where you could go. And it all comes down to what is his agenda. Does he want to go to the place where the deck is stacked in his favor to win a Super Bowl? I think he's fearful that if he goes to a place where people say, oh, he's going to win another Super Bowl, and doesn't get there, that's when the narrative shifts ever so slightly from it's the Packers' fault they haven't been back to it. Maybe it's his fault. Maybe he does play a little too tightly in the postseason when things are otherwise.
Well, think about early Rodgers we saw. Like you just said, the Super Bowl run. Was that tightly, right?
Was
he was running around throwing lasers everywhere.
Nobody expected anything. Nothing to lose.
Making plays where you go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he's about to throw that ball in that window. Oh, man, he got it in again. Right, you know. I think we're in the era here where, you got to stop worrying about mistakes like we talked about. You know, we're seeing here Matthew Stafford led the league in interceptions, won the Super Bowl. All the great quarterbacks this year, you know, had high interception marks. It's a little bit more and less about taking care of the ball now and making plays. I think that's where the league's changed. And, you know, the Falcons are another team I think we could have thrown in that quarterback conversation. But here would be my two cents about those teams. I would question whether I'd want Aaron Rodgers. You got some meat left on the bone on your own football team. So now what, you're going to trade assets away even though your team's not complete for one guy and maybe be stuck here in a year or two and go, damn, now we don't have a team. We got to rebuild. Oh, we've traded all the assets away to the Packers. I don't know if any of them make sense to me because they're not in, like, win now, win right this moment mode either.
Great point, though. What will the Packers want for him?
I know.
See, and that's the other thing, too. Yeah. If they're ready to move on, you got to take your thumb off the scale.
You might have
a little. You can't demand this incredible return,
right?
And it was like a fourth or a third round pick for Brett Favre 15 years ago that could have been more based upon performance. They have to be realistic and reasonable.
Yeah.
The other side of it too is, are you trying to win or are you trying to fill up the Mercedes-Benz
Superdome,
call it. It's not the Superdome. They got the Mercedes-Benz. They moved it from the from the New Orleans Stadium to the Atlanta Stadium.
Mercedes-Benz Dome.
Do you want the dome in Atlanta to be filled with fans? And would Aaron Rodgers even do it? I don't know that at this point in his career.
No, I don't think that kind of team.
Season tickets. Tom Brady, yes. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. It's you know.
He probably will, but it's just like, are those teams, you know, I don't think they're ready for a guy like Rodgers, and I don't think Rodgers is going to want those teams right now. Like you said, he's going to go to a team, if he's going to do it, that he feels like he's got a real chance because he's hyper aware, like you've discussed, and that's what makes him great. But at the same time, it's going to be used against him. If he goes to some team and they don't even make the playoffs or they're just barely in the wild card round, it will change the narrative about him a little bit.
What about the Titans?
Yeah, the Titans could be, but the thing there is there's a lot of good there. I'd be interested to see what they think of Ryan Tannehill. I'm a guy that is a Ryan Tannehill believer. I know he's not Aaron Rodgers. Is there enough there weaponry? You know, if I was the, you know, Rodgers and you were looking at the Titans, I'd go, you have to make a commitment to me that you're going to go out and sign some big receivers here because we can't just get it done with me, Derrick Henry, and Treylon Burke here.
As long as you make the commitment, you're going to be, you know, active and involved in getting these guys up to speed.
That's the other part of it. Whoever he plays for, you want to be certain
that he is all in, and you're not just going to see him for a 2-day mini camp and then he shows up for training camp. I have a theory about how this all may play out, and this comes from the part of me that loves chaos. Aaron Rodgers retires and then unretires later in the year. We saw what happened with Brett Favre. He shows up. He's available. Jets throw Chad Pennington overboard to go get Brett Favre.
Yeah, right.
That's really the question. How many teams, after the dust settles on free agency and the draft, would tear up their plans and go for Aaron Rodgers if the Packers are being difficult in where they trade him or what they want? What he can say is, I retire. And then when he shows up, they got to deal with his cap hit, because they could deal with Favre 15 years ago. I don't think they could deal easily with Rodgers, and they're going to have to move on from him, and maybe they cut him. I don't know what they would do at that point. But at that point, if that happens, then, you know, we get to July or August. Is there going to be a land rush for his services? Then that's another way it could play out.
Man.
If he feels like they're pushing him to make a decision, and I have to make a decision now, fine, I'll just retire. That's
well, he's
what Favre
pushed
did.
Himself into making this decision. He said it. So we're going to push him because
and
that's what he
and
told
he's
us.
He's on the record. He's not going to hold them hostage,
yeah,
even though he's kind
that's
of in the
I
window
mean.
Where he is.
Right, right. So, I mean, gosh, if he went into that, again, for a guy that we think is pretty aware and knows all that, gosh, wow, he's going to have to deal with some backlash if he decides to take that approach. That's for sure.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Another development. Are we getting to any others, or are we going to take a break here? I don't know. I know we've got people coming at any time, and it's part of the flexibility, and there's some activity going on off screen. Leslie Frazier is the next topic. Thank you, Pete. Leslie Frazier stepping away from coaching for 2023, could return in 2024. Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, basically said today, no guarantee that they'll welcome him back. You know, there's like people
Man.
Are like, well, is it a health thing? Is it kind of a soft push?
That's what it feels like.
Bean said that Frazier raised with them just very recently that he'd been thinking about doing it and he decided to do it. Because, look, if it wasn't something he decided to do on his own, the timing is horrible.
Oh, it's horrible
gonna,
timing.
If you're going to push the guy out, push him out when he has a chance to go somewhere else if
right,
he wants to.
Right.
So, but it sounds like this is something that Frazier wanted to do, and we'll see if there's an opportunity for him next year. There should be. He's done a great job.
He's done a great job. It's a crazy development. I did not expect it, and we'll see where that goes. But, hey, Sean McDermott, we know his defensive system, too,
yep.
So it's not a huge blow to that team.
We are going to take a break. When we return, we're going to be joined by both
the
general
Bears.
Manager and the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Ryan
the
Poles
Bears.
And Matt Eberflus. We'll be back with them when PFT Live continues right after this.
Snap is back, looking to throw. Fields jumps up in the pocket. Now he's going to have to keep it himself. He runs, he gets the first down to midfield. Away at the 40! Fields to the 30, to the 20. Can he beat the angle? He does! He finishes! David Montgomery on the right hip of Justin Fields. He'll keep the ball, and there he goes. Justin, middle of the field, 45-50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake. Running left at the 10. 5! End zone! Touchdown! Here is a read option, and what a move by Fields. Breaks free to 50. Away he goes. Justin's gone, baby. 10-5, end zone. He's done it again.
There was at least one of those, it seemed like, every week last year.
There was
Justin
a lot,
Fields
yeah.
And the Chicago Oof. Bears joining us now, GM Ryan Poles and head coach Matt Eberflus. Coach, when did you realize that this guy isn't just a good runner, but he's a great runner?
Yeah, I think it was like around game 5 or 6, we started to see it really come to light. We started to utilize a little bit more quarterback runs
right.
During that New England game.
Yeah, the New England game.
Yep. It was right after our mini bye. So, and then really we just it kind of took off from there. You know, and he had several weeks in a row where he had, like you said, you know, one or two of those runs each game. And, you know, so he really did a nice job with that.
There seemed like there was reluctance at first. Like, when do you find, like, what makes you, what's the moment where you just go, hey, like, screw it. Let's start game planning some runs. He might have to take a hit or whatever. What was that moment or the light go on there?
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, you evaluate that during the mini bye and
right.
You say, hey, this guy really is, you know, really
special
can,
that
yeah,
way.
We can utilize his legs a little bit more. And then you start to say, okay, well, let's be safe about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's
yeah.
always that delicate balance that you have. You know, as an offense, you want to be able to do that. But in the critical moments of the game, you know,
yeah.
and then when we do call the runs, you know, he's got to work himself to the numbers, sideline, out of bounds, you know, without, you know, getting in harm's way.
Right.
But he certainly learned to do that a little bit better.
And you guys are in a unique spot, too. You had what felt like an exciting season. The glass seems more than half full. Justin Fields feels like the sky's the limit. But he also got the first overall pick in the draft. So, you know, usually the team with the first overall pick in the draft is like, what the hell do we do? Where do we go? It feels like you guys have something to really work with going forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the season, we had the opportunity to evaluate our team and evaluate Justin to see, you know, what direction we wanted to go. But at the same time, what makes this all special in the league is, you know, we got to do our homework. You have opportunities, so you got to do your homework on the class that comes up. So right. we're going to do that. But we feel comfortable where Justin is and where he's going to go. And, you know, we'll just do our homework and kind of see where it goes from there.
Like, where, like, as far as, are you kind of shocked about this conversation that's going on around Fields, the number one pick right now? You know, as far as, I know it's a quarterback. All we talk about is quarterbacks, yeah. everybody. But, you know, I'm also like, man, how did this come out of nowhere? Didn't I see this guy make some of the greatest runs I saw all year, and all of a sudden we're talking about now another quarterback at number one?
Right.
Are you surprised that that's kind of taken?
No, I'm not surprised
no, you're
at
not.
All. And that was, you know, Justin and I had that conversation of what this offseason would look like and sound like, and to really separate himself. And if anything did change, I'd be in communication with him. But it is, it's, you know, it's fun to talk about. I thought it was pretty clear, you know, after the season, just saying I'd really have to be blown away, you know, by one of these quarterbacks in this class
yeah.
to move on from
right.
a guy that showed ability to be explosive and
yeah.
put his team in position to succeed. And we got work to do, you know, as a front office to surround him with talent so he can continue to grow and get better.
Because yeah. there's still no sure thing. You're basically acquiring, the example I always use is a lottery ticket. Mm-hmm. You don't know that quarterback that comes in is going to be great. You have a guy that's showing attributes that he can be great.
Right.
Makes it even harder to move on from him and start from scratch. And it would put even more pressure, I think, on the next quarterback if you give up on Justin Fields.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we both believe in player development. So from a coaching perspective, getting him in a place where the game slows down is going to be critical. And then from a front office perspective, again, it's about surrounding him with talent so he can lean on others to kind of break through that next level.
Is it difficult in a year like this, like both of you, right, where you guys are playing for the future? You got money that was being paid to other guys not on the team that wasn't even your doing or anything like that. You know, did you feel yourself like the pressure of having to, I don't know, explain that to the fan base a little bit? You know, because early in the year it was all yeah. like, oh, they need weapons around Fields. And we yeah. were sitting here trying to explain, they're trying not to ruin their team here right off the bat. They right. got to be smart about it. Is yeah. that a hard political conversation to deal with in the city?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
I just think that, you know, we had a lot of a young team.
Right.
And we developed those guys.
Yeah.
You know, we had a really good draft class last year. We felt really strong about that. And we developed that
yeah.
group. And they played well down
yeah.
the stretch. And, you know, so really it's about that noise on the outside. We just really want to focus on what's in that building there.
Right.
And just improving and getting better every single game and every single week.
What do you want him to do next year? What's the next step in the development of Justin Fields?
Yeah, you know, I was just saying that on the podium just 2 seconds ago, that really just take what the defense gives you. I know that's coach talk. I understand that. But, again, and we'll improve at the offensive line level. You know, get more protection, get better protection there so we have more time so he doesn't feel as rushed, which obviously, you know, it's a very
sure.
important component.
It's everything.
And then he'll be able to take what the defense gives him. And then when we call the runs or he goes through his progressions and it breaks down, then he'll be able to use his legs when necessary. So
yeah.
that's what we want him to do.
At what point do you guys get to the point in the draft evals where you start to go, okay, we're comfortable with what we've evaluated, who we got. All right, now we can maybe make a move at number one or, you know, trade it away. When does that moment come where you start to feel like, okay, I got a good grasp for, you know, the whole class and maybe where I want to play this?
Yeah, I think once we leave here, we'll be able to gather enough information to feel comfortable. You know, the most important piece of the combine to me is the medical piece. It's
yeah.
the thing, you know, you can't see. So
right.
Once we have that, we can put numbers. We see how many guys are in certain values on our board. And I think from there, we can make a sound decision if it's moving back, if it's maybe there's someone that's special and we're like, you know what, let's just stick with this guy. Or if we have enough people, that's going to tell us how far we can move back, where we still can get a guy that we think can really help us, you know, become better.
Yeah, right.
How aggressively will the organization scout the best quarterbacks, the Bryce Youngs of the world, not to possibly draft him, but so you can engage in the best possible trade negotiations? You know the guy inside and out. Because obviously a team that would trade up to number one is trading up for a player, not for a spot.
Yeah.
How much time will you spend getting to know the guy that's likely going to be number one?
Yeah, we'll do the full process. I think it's good practice to do that regardless. So our scouts, they've all done the film work. The same amount of cross-checks have done all the quarterbacks. We're going to meet with a lot of them here, sit them down, get to know them as people, watch film with them, see how they see the game and what they were taught to do. And then we're gonna hop on the plane and we're gonna make our rounds with the pro days and see guys move around and throw and spend additional time with them as well. So I think it's good practice to really do your due diligence, regardless of your setup. Sure, you might put a little bit more into it in certain circumstances, but we're going to be consistent on that side.
You guys are in it together, it sounds like. I mean, right. You guys talking ball all the time and have the same vision for what you're looking for in the team, yep. And you go from there, right? I mean, for you, Coach Eberflus, like, what was the big adjustment for you? Going defensive coordinator, now you're the head coach, Chicago Bears, that media market, the fan base is passionate.
Right.
You know, what was it like for you the first year?
No, it was great. The fans were awesome. I mean, they travel well.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You go to all these different stadiums, and, man, you got your Bears fans there, and they're right behind you the whole way. So they're very passionate, very loyal fans. So we are certainly pumped about that. And then, really, for me as the head coach, it was just really working with Ryan. You know, it was great. You know, our relationship has gotten stronger during the course of this year.
Right.
And we're more in tuned, you know, because we have a year under our belt, you know, coming into this draft and this combine, so we're excited about moving forward.
All right, last one. How actively are both of you checking your phones for news that Aaron Rodgers is leaving the division?
not much at all.
I haven't checked it.
Today or at all?
No,
I mean, do you guys care? Do you pay attention to it? I mean, I would want Aaron Rodgers gone if I was the Chicago Bears.
I think at the end of the day, you got to really just focus on your own team and really put all your energy and effort there. All of that will take care of itself, and we'll go from there. And as a competitor, you want to play against the best, and you want to kind of get over that hump as well. So we're just going to focus on the Bears and do our best, get our roster in the right position, coach them up, and fire away and see how good we can get.
Great stuff, guys. Thanks for your time. We're going to take a break.
You.
When we return, we'll be joined by Texans
Bears.
General Manager Nick Caserio. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Down to it, there is no place I wanted to be any more than H-Town. So it was an easy pick for me. It was a no-brainer to be here. All right, be home. It was a no-brainer. So it wasn't a difficult decision at all. It was very easy.
New head coach DeMeco Ryans of the Houston Texans. The guy who hired him is with us now, General Manager Nick Caserio. Nick, welcome. Great to be with you. Last year I was home for this. Chris was here. I get to be in person and have a conversation with you. Thanks for doing it.
Awesome. Great to be here. Good to visit with you.
Always awesome to be with you, Nick, and we go way back. I'm always like one interested.
Give me a good story. Give me a good story about this big.
There's not too many good stories.
Buffoon, yeah.
Chris
in New
was
England.
Great. No, he was great. He came in kind of as a lower level scouting assistant,
yeah.
And I would say it was a lot of hard work, and he was willing to do it. And he obviously had a very extensive background, had a good career. We want to be in football, kind of want to learn some of the nuances of scouting. So everything that I did, some of the jobs that I had, like Chris had those responsibilities as well.
Yeah.
So he was great to be around. He was great to work with. And now he's transitioning to things that are more important in terms of his role.
I don't know about that. But it was great. On a given day, because I was scouting, I could get yelled at by Nick and be like, oh, you got to do this.
I never yelled at him.
No, he really didn't. He didn't have to yell either. Nick is the kind of guy that could just look at everybody and be like, yep, we got to get better. And then maybe later when I'm doing my quality control stuff, Josh would call me down and be like, hey, you idiot, you broke this down wrong. So I got a little both ways there. But, you know, I always thought, like, man, and the master play of Nick Caserio, he's going to end up hiring somebody from New England at some point as the head coach. That's kind of always what I thought in the back of my brain. 49ers, DeMeco Ryan. What? I mean, so what jumped out about you, him and everything there?
Yeah, I mean, he and I didn't really know each other.
I
we knew
think so.
Of each other,
right.
So we didn't really overlap.
Right.
We competed against the teams that he was on, whether it was in Houston, played against him when
sure.
he was in Philadelphia there at the end.
Right.
Obviously, he's been a part of a really good program. What Kyle has done, you know, with that program, what Kyle and John have done,
yeah.
A lot of admiration and appreciation. I mean, he's a good coach. He was a good player. He was a good person. Had a lot of good leadership qualities. And as we work through the process,
Loves Houston.
Yeah. His wife is from there. So
right.
There were a lot of things where I would say there was mutual interest and mutual, admiration for the job. So in the end, like, he was just very thoughtful, He was very sincere. He's very genuine about wanting the job, about wanting to be a part of what we were doing, understanding that there's been a lot of transition, quite frankly, that kind of taken place here over the last few years.
Yeah.
But I think he was open and willing to be a part of what we were doing, saw the opportunity in front of us. And, you know, we're excited about having him in a building and being able to work with him here the last few weeks, however long it's been, has been great.
Yeah. We had the conversation last year about David Culley, 1 year done, then Lovie Smith, now 1 year done. How important is it that this relationship with D'Amico Ryans lasts multiple years?
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard. You never want to have to make changes after 1 year. Part of my responsibility is to evaluate our program and where we are and where we're headed. In the end, we thought those were the best decisions for us. So I'd say moving forward, you know, we're trying to put, I'd say, a foundation and stability and continuity in place, which benefits everybody. It benefits the players, benefits the coaches. So when you look around the league at some of the more successful teams and organizations, the ones that have continuity over long periods of time, those are the ones that at least have a chance. So we're a long way from that, but hopefully this kind of puts us on the path in that direction.
Does the, like, I guess I'm intrigued a little bit by, like, kind of what you were talking about. A guy from a totally different tree, or, you know, football, NFL group of people compared to you, is there an adjustment period of like, oh, wait, this is how you do things in the front office for a guy like D'Amico Ryans? Have you had to have conversations with that, like that?
Yeah, we've had a lot of open dialogue, yeah, open conversations.
Because nobody's like you guys. I just want to try to explain this to the viewers. Nobody, I've said to Mike, it's like we look under a stone in Germany when we were in, you know, with the Patriots. They look at everything, and it's different.
Well, I think you have to be adaptable and you have to be flexible.
Right.
And there's a lot of different ways that you can be successful.
Yeah.
So part of our job, part of my job responsibility is to have an open mind and to work in concert with the head coach in that position. So how do we want to play defensively? What are the things that D'Amico feels are important? How do we want to play offensively? What are some of the team-building things that go into that? So those conversations, dialogue, are open. I think the one thing that we've tried to do, I've tried to just be adaptable, be flexible, because that's really what you have to be in this league. You have to have an open mind. You have to be willing to adjust and adapt. The league is constantly evolving. So we have to be willing to adjust and adapt, understanding that the core foundation of how I was trained, that's certainly not going to change.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the quarterback position for 2023? Davis Mills obviously played a lot last year. You've got the second overall pick. You've got the 12th overall pick. You've got other moves you can make. What's your objective at that position?
Yeah, probably have some optionality, Mike. So really Davis is the only player under contract currently. So Kyle and Jeff are free agents. So I'd say there's a good chance you're going to have we're going to have two or three new players at this position. So between free agency and the draft, probably some combination of both. We're probably going to have those players on the team. So each quarterback has their own traits and characteristics that, you know, they do well. So it's really identifying what does a player do well, how does he fit in the system. And really, I think what you don't want to do is put a timetable about, like, when a player has to play whenever he's drafted, whether
right.
it's a quarterback or whether it's somebody else. So what we want to try to do is try to build a good infrastructure, try to build a good team, and then just give the players opportunity to be successful when they go out on the field.
Yeah, what point, or have you had those conversations yet? I'm going to kind of go down that road there as far as, you know, hey, it's GM. We know you got to win now. Head coach has got to win now. Okay, so there's some veteran quarterbacks out there. But I think in the perfect world, they'd all like to draft a quarterback, develop it, and be like the Kansas City Chiefs or whatever, right? So how do you kind of balance that approach for you and D'Amico?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have open conversations. You got to be thoughtful about
yeah.
it. Like, what are we trying to accomplish? What's important? How do we add the player to the team? What makes the most sense? So there are ongoing discussions and conversations. There's no one-size-fits-all. Like, this, okay, if we do this, then we can't do this. So, again, going back to what I said a little bit earlier, be open-minded, be adaptable, be flexible, and just be very authentic and, you know, truthful about those discussions.
Right.
Well, Nick, we wish you the best moving forward. You got your coach, 6-year deal. Have a feeling we won't be asking about a new head coach next year. Hope it goes well for you and for the Texans. We thank you for some of your time. We look forward to talking to you real soon.
Thanks. Always good visiting with you.
There he is, Nick Caserio. When we return, Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll right here live. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Sean did a great job.
There he is doing his thing out on the practice field in the Air Monarchs.
There he is.
Oh, yeah.
It's the fastest. I don't know. What are you, 69 now? However, you're up there.
I'm not giving up my number.
You're not giving it up.
I know what the number is.
You do, right?
It is.
It might be 7-0.
I'm always at 7-1.
You don't have to
7-1, but that's all right.
Can we take that off the
nah,
loop.
Nah, come on.
It is always amazing. Anytime we see you before a game, like you're transported back. Like it's the enthusiasm and glee of a kid, and that's great to see.
Yeah, well, this is the game we play, you know, and we sometimes lose sight of that, and it's always been the game. It's always been about playing catch and throwing the ball and all that kind of stuff to me, and it has never really changed. I'm as excited about it as I've ever been. This offseason right now it's a thrill to try to see if we can maximize this thing. It's a great challenge, and to me it's always competitions, you know.
Right.
We're battling to see if we can figure it out. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, everybody talks about you and competition and all that. Well, another little just silly question: gum. What's your gum, and how often are we?
I'm
changing
a bubble gum guy that's never cashed in on it. I don't know what's happened. They
Damn.
Never came to me. I don't know.
And are you just like throwing a new piece every 5 minutes, kind of thing?
Because
you look only
on game day.
Only on game day. That's your gum day. Yeah.
See, it's the opportunity for all the bubblegum competitors to come in because they can get you to convert if the price is right.
I'm setting the market.
You're a gum-free agent.
I'm a free agent, although I am pretty partial to it. So,
hey, speaking of free agents, let's just take it up right there. We've been waiting for news that Geno Smith is going to stick around. There's just been a vibe that it's going to work out. Are you confident at this point that you're going to get it worked out before you'd have to use the franchise tag?
Well, I'm just counting on it, you know, and I'm confident. I'm counting on it. Geno's been us, and we've been him, and so we should just do this together.
Right.
But we still got to work out the business part of it, and we've got a team that needs some help, and we've got some areas in free agency that we've got to address, and we're looking forward to doing that. And it's, you know, this is the game that you play this time of year, so we're working hard at it. We'd love to have Geno back. He did a fantastic job. I'd love his story. Love competing with him. Love going to, you know, to the games with him and knowing he's going to lead us and all that. He's done a marvelous job. Just handled it so well. And probably better than the football stuff, it's the way he's been able to engage in this opportunity and maximize it just by being himself. You know, it's a great story.
I have a little history of he used to throw with my dad and my brother, and they've always been like, man, Geno is the guy, and they've always thought he had this potential. When did you, you know, I know you knew you liked him and he was could be your quarterback, but you traded for Drew Lock. Like, when was the moment where you're like, damn, this guy is like, he got it. Like, he's playing well.
You know,
he got something
really, I go back to he showed in his chance 2 years ago when he got 3 games to start and he came in in the Rams game.
And Russell hurt his finger.
Yeah,
right.
The last game he played before Russ came back against Jacksonville, he was 15 for 15.
Yeah.
Threw a great game at him, and it looked like he found his groove a little bit, you know, and you know, we weren't sure. We didn't know. But that was the first indicator. And he's always been awesome in practice. There's nobody that throws the ball better than he does.
Oh,
and,
I know.
He's just a regular, tremendous athlete. Not a regular. I mean, he's an extraordinary, tremendous athlete. But he just took it over. And the way he handled the competition, and Drew gave him a run for it, too. You know, we really made it competitive, just like we had done the last time we were choosing a quarterback. And he never wavered. He knew he was going to win the job. He just kept staying with it. And he didn't have all perfect days, but he had a lot of good stuff happen. And then when he got his chance, he just totally embraced it and went with it. So,
yeah.
Coach, do you think it was an aberration, or do you think that other teams now will start taking a closer look at quarterbacks who didn't have things work out for them in their first stop, fall into that void of backup, second string, third string, that maybe there's something there, that this guy can still be a starter in this league instead of just being relegated to understudy role?
I find myself today in answering the questions and all really, you know, singing the praises of the opportunities for young guys, that we have to give them a second chance and a third chance. This job is so hard.
Right.
It's so challenging, and so few guys can just jump in and embrace it and take it and kick butt with it, that if you saw the talent and you saw the makeup that told you we're going to draft this guy, you got to fight through the expectations and the disappointments of the expectations. You know, they can't make it happen in their first 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, right.
And wait them out. And if you do wait them out, there's a great reward down there. This is an illustration. This isn't the only indication of that. I mean, there's other illustrations of it in the past. Some great players have made it through and, you know, struggled earlier in their career, and then they found their way. And because the game is so challenging, there's so much to it, that until they really embrace that and they take command of it, you don't know.
Right.
But if they've got the ability and they have something, you know, I'm selling the
patience.
Keep giving the patience, give guys another chance, and see it through and see that maybe – let me add to that. And I've said that Geno had such great belief and commitment to his own ability and his confidence that he maintained through all of the disappointing years – it was is unusual. And that was probably the most important element of all of it. He had the talent to do it, but right. he never gave up on himself. Right. And it's a beautiful story to see it come through.
The like you, John Schneider, you guys are always kind of like open about what you need to get better with or whatever, what area of the team. I mean, I know you don't want to give away all the recipes here, but...
Or none of them?
Or none of them, yeah, right. Right? But I mean, I think we could probably figure out a few of them. But like, what is the area, like you talked about, you know, Geno's contract, what are we looking to address with your football team that's just like... priority number one?
We really want to keep adding competitive guys that are really over the top that yeah. way. You know, as much as we hit it with the height, weight, and speed thing with Tariq Woolen,
right.
but we found out that he was a terrific competitor too. And when we knew, you know, I can't tell you that we knew all of that early on because it was kind of a, you know, it was a fifth round pick and all yeah. of that. But we want to keep adding to it because the guys that came through this year for us in this last year's draft all have great makeup.
Yeah.
They have confidence in themselves. They've got the willingness to say, okay, I don't know everything, but yet I'm going to dig in and fight and claw and scratch and hang with it. And we were rewarded with a great class last year, you know, of guys. And it's the makeup of the kids that are so important. Now we really want to stay with that and really make sure that that's at the very source of what we're doing in this process.
How do you flush that out? You know, it's like the guys we call like psychos in a good way, right, that you want in your fall, who just listen to coach, do whatever it is. How do you flush that out in this whole process?
Well, that's what the process is for. Yeah. I mean, the interviews are for, and our guys have to be tuned into what they're looking for. And then John and I, you know, we ultimately get down to it, you know, and we need all of the information we can get. So that's what this process is, and hopefully we come up with some great answers and some great insights, and we hit it right, you know, and we really did last year for sure.
Yeah.
I've been sitting here trying to think of the best way to ask this, Coach. I'm just going to ask it.
Are you sure?
What was your reaction?
I'll give you a second thought here.
No,
you don't
no,
have to ask
because I think I don't mean anything negative by it. We're all human beings.
I can handle it. Bring it on, Mike.
Right, and you open up your phone or your computer, and you see The Athletic has this report with, in the first paragraph, Russell Wilson tried to get you and John fired. What's your reaction when you see that?
I just think this has been a cavalcade of reports all, you know, ever since this thing happened, and they've all kind of gone in a kind of a negative light,
yeah.
you know, and unfortunately for us, but here's what I would say, that I'm not giving up on my guys, ever. I don't care how old they get or how many things they say, you know, once we've gone to battle as much as we have and we've fought to compete and all of the challenges and the hard work and all that, I ain't giving up on these guys. I'm going to prove to them that I'm never leaving them. And so, you know, I've got plenty of examples of guys that we've, you know, had through the program
right.
that stay with us and come back to us, and they find the sense that of the relationship and the depth of it and all of that. And I'm just not giving up on guys. So I don't care what's said. It doesn't matter to me.
So when you see that, do you say that's not true? Do you think it's true?
Not
do
sure.
you find out whether it's true? Like, what do you think?
It doesn't have anything to do with it. That's not how I'm responding. You ask me how I'm going to respond to it, I'm responding right. to it the way I am. That
it doesn't matter
to
you
if
it's true.
I don't care. You know, I just want to be an illustration, an example for these guys that you can really hang with people in relationships that you
right.
put so much into.
Feathers
it.
So you're fine.
Whatever
it's kind
said,
of like unconditional
reported,
love, you know. If that's probably yeah. the best way to explain it.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving up on anything, no matter what happens.
You're fine with Russ, no matter what. That's what I'm taking away
yeah.
from this.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah,
but
you had a lot of good that's times it. With them and good things. You guys are amazing things. I don't even want to. All right, here's another one for you, because I've always heard the stories, you know. The Seattle scheme, I mean, one of the greatest defensive schemes in the history of the sport, is it started with you guys, of course. You've gotten away from that, you know.
I had too many coordinators leave with all the answers.
Yeah, so that kind of, right, right. So,
you know,
yeah, just
on both sides of the ball, you know.
Down.
You have to keep moving. You have to keep evolving, you know. And so we're in a transition of evolution for us.
Right.
That's really, really exciting to me. And so we've mixed. I wanted to expand the things we were doing in the secondary, and
yeah.
so we've done that.
Yeah.
And now we need to hone in on it and make it come to life in a big way. I think there's a lot of magic in what we're doing right now, and we got to put it together and make sure that our players can express it.
Right.
It fits them so that they can show what they're capable of doing in a big way, in a consistent way, with great confidence and commitment and all that. So that's what we're doing. So it's an exciting time for Clint and I, and as we're working it out.
But that was the big thing why you got away from it. You just felt like it was around the league too much, and too many coordinators started to have kind of a Rolodex of plays that they would do to attack it, right?
We had to face the reality of it. Yeah. You know, we had to keep moving. And we had a great run. We had years and years of great defense. And our guys fit the scheme so well that we didn't have to do anything different. We just needed to let them play their game.
Right, right.
And so that was, if there was any genius in it, it was that, you know, in allowing Earl and Cam and Richard and you know, Michael and all those guys, Cliff, all those guys to do their thing in a way that you know, you couldn't deal with this. You know? And the great expression was all the way that the Super Bowl we played against Peyton was really the height of demonstrating that.
It was amazing. And
it was a game we played as basic to the letter of what we have been doing the whole time, and forced them to restrict what they were doing. And in that, we were able to really play a great game against the best offense you ever saw.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And so. That was
special.
We got to get on. We didn't have that all together all the time. We grew to that. We got to evolve to it again.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Thank you very much for your time. We've got some notable free agents coming up, including Geno Smith and many others. And coming up, and look, there they are, the Chiefs free agents, and we will have the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs joining us next, Andy Reid. Coach, thanks again.
How lucky can you get, man.
Great seeing you, man.
I'll give you a name for it. Right?
Yeah,
it's called corn dog. So
it's called what?
Corn dog.
It's not called corn dog.
Oh yeah.
Is it called corn dog?
Nothing better than a good corn dog with some mustard and ketchup.
But he doesn't step into the huddle and say corn dog.
Oh no, he says corn dog.
Don't do it, lad. 30 X title, 35 whack corn dog.
There it is. There's the parade. It wasn't all that long ago. It was less than 2 weeks ago. There is never a break. It just keeps going and going and going in the National Football League. You don't even get a chance to let the confetti completely fall before it's time to start looking for your new players. And the man in charge of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, you know what's amazing to me, Coach? 24 straight years without a break. Here he is, Andy Reid. What was it, 14 with the Eagles and 10 with the Chiefs? Is my math right? It rarely is.
Yeah, no, you got it. Yeah, good years, too. I enjoyed my time in Philadelphia, great city, and I've enjoyed my time in Kansas City. So I've been very fortunate to work for two great organizations. So I'm very lucky that way.
But you're the man of the hour, as we know. You've been the man of the hour here for a little while. But is there a difference between the first Super Bowl win or, you know, the second one here? Kind of explain that to us.
Yeah, so I think there is. You kind of knew what to expect with the second one as it wound down there. And so I think you appreciate it just a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's...
You could take a little breath and go, man, this is cool.
Yeah, you go, this is pretty nice. You know, this is... It's great for these kids, and especially these young ones. I mean, we had all these young kids.
Oh, my gosh. They must have been like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah. No, it was great.
We showed the clip of your conversation with Peter King explaining the corn dog play, the jet motion fake and back out and wide open. Walk us through how that play came to be. We know you used it back in week one against the Cardinals, but where did that come from and why in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, no better place to do it than the Super Bowl. You know, we thought secondary-wise, they switched things off.
Yeah, they tried to change stuff, a lot of defenses, right?
Yeah, so we thought that that would be a good play against them, and this guy's a good guy to get the ball in, ball into his hands. So.
Man.
He did a nice job, and Pat read it well. It's a run play that ends up being RPO type play.
If you get the same look, get the right look.
If you get the right look,
right?
We're lucky enough to get the right look.
Yeah. So you got that play. Excuse me, I'm drooling over myself here because I'm so excited. You got that, but that's, you know, it's something I broke down prior to the Super Bowl a little bit because they try to squash and they're so aggressive, squashing everything that you kind of use that against them, and then so the second play. Kind of explain that. I mean, most of us know.
That was squash. It was the wrong play. It was the wrong squash.
So it was, was Kadarius just on the wrong side, or was it?
No, it was.
It was supposed to be three receivers to the left. Kelsey messed it up. I know. I heard somebody call out Kelsey.
Yeah, but you know what? It was a good mess up. So it worked out. And if you look at it, you'll see.
Let's see Kadarius, it one more time, guys.
You'll see Kadarius. Pat was going to bring him down and do the same one.
Right.
And he went.
Yeah, other side. Other guys.
But Pat knew what the coverage was.
If you
listen to the audio, he goes 0-0-0, so he knew it was zero blitz.
Yeah, and here it is one more time. Yeah. You're right.
He just left everybody, and then brought him.
He knew this would work versus Zero.
That's right. Yeah.
The other thing I'm amazed by. Did you get in, like, your defense, Spags? What he did. I mean, the Eagles are damn good, yeah. As you knew.
Yes.
There's no weakness.
No.
His game plan is what I've gushed about a little bit. Yeah. Just were you like at some points like, I can't believe we're calling this defense on first and 10 or second and 8?
No, he did. he did a nice job. He started off with some pressure and then kind of worked around that and mixed in some zone stuff.
Right.
But he kept him. He kept him guessing the second half, and then offensively we were able to get it going. We got a couple stops defensively,
right.
And then we were able to get it going offensively, and it was a good blend of team right there.
Yeah,
and special
it was.
Teams also stepped up
right.
and did a nice job. So it was good all the way around there.
Yeah. How important was that halftime, that extra long halftime, to really lighten a fire under the offense?
Yeah, most of all was to get the fire out of Pat's ankle. So yeah. Those high ankle sprains when you tweak them, they hurt like heck, and then, but then they settle down if you're given enough time.
Right.
So we had the time for that to take place. Not that Pat wouldn't have gone back in if it was a shorter halftime. I mean, he was possessed on that thing about playing, and so.
Yeah.
But the longer halftime, we used that also. We broke it into increments of like 6-minute increments, and so we could the guys could use a restroom, get a drink. Come back, coaches could go over what went on in the first half, get a drink, go to the bathroom, then come back and give them what the new stuff would be. And then we had a stretch period in there, too. So it all worked out where the guys had a little bit of rest, but we could also feed them the information we needed to feed them.
Is there anything you could give us? Like, what was the one thing at halftime that bothered you when you walk in and you're like, damn, we got to fix this or we're not going to win?
So I thought the primary thing, we were off by a tick.
Right.
And Howard Mudd, the late Howard Mudd, always used to say he was a run guru. So
sure.
You go, run it one more time. The first time we're going to try to figure it out. Let me figure out what the problems are, and then we'll fix it the second time. So it was a little bit of that.
Right.
Let's kind of get it together here and put ourselves back in position where we're more accurate with what we're doing. And then let's get the run game going. Were there a couple things in the run game that we thought we could do?
Right.
I thought Andy Heck had a great game plan for that, and our offensive line coach.
Right.
And so we were able to get the run game going. Our guys ran tremendously hard. And then it allowed Pat some quicker throws, ball out of his hand. That defensive front of theirs is dynamite.
Yeah, insane.
So, just get the ball out fast. And then we'll build up. Let's get that taken care of. Then we'll build up from there.
Yeah.
Eagles receiver A.J. Brown said at some point after the game that when the Eagles didn't go for it on 4th and 6 from your 15.
And they kicked the field goal.
They kicked the field goal and went up 6. That was when he knew, uh-oh. Did you have the mirror image of that thinking, okay, wait, we're only down 6 points in this game and our offense is awake. This is our chance to go take it?
Yeah, I probably didn't think exactly that, Mike, but I felt like we start off with good momentum and kind of started generating that. I thought if there's a such thing as a mojo, the mojo was
on your
side. Yeah, I felt that coming out, even coming out at halftime. 10 points is with these two offenses is really nothing. I mean, both offenses are so good, so they can score. So I just thought if we could just straighten it out, we'll be tough. We'll be tough to stop. And then if we get a couple stops on defense, we'll be okay. That's where my main focus was. And then when Pat took off running, a couple times there, I thought, you know what, we're going to be okay because that's a part of his game,
right.
And it's pressure on the defense.
Yeah.
So, but we needed the stops. I was really more focused. We need a couple stops, and in those type of games where it's back and forth,
yeah,
you got to get a couple.
Got the
stops.
Field goals and the stops,
yeah,
and
that's
three
right.
And out.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And that was a long drive too. I mean, that
ooh,
was a ridiculously
17 play
long
drive
to only have it end in 3 points.
Yeah.
The guy's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's the damnedest. Did he show you a new aspect of him? Just I don't think people always go, oh, the most talented guy, they're usually not that tough or gritty.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know, was there anything in him? Did he show you something? And what did he do like that's kind of surprised you through this whole thing?
Yeah, no, he showed his gruntness, right?
Yeah, right.
So he's
gritty.
He reached down in there and really sucked it up. It's not even that he sucked. It's that he's mentally strong enough to
lock it out.
Blank that out and say, you know what, I'm okay. It's a great tribute to positive thinking.
Yeah. Oh, he was ready to fight somebody during the Jaguars game. Yeah,
no, you? He was ready to fight you? I'm not going in.
No. He did not want to get the X-ray. And then I saw the replay of him running. This was after the game. I see that he runs up to the X-ray machine to get an X-ray. I'm going, this guy, he's out of his mind.
He's a psycho.
Yeah. So, but he was in the right frame of mind, and I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Right.
I saw LeBron twisted his ankle the other night.
Yes, right.
And he went that same mode, just kind of like, and Pat happened to be in the audience, and I'm going, well, there you go. I mean, both guys up here, very strong. So.
All right. I got one more good one on you, Mahomes. I'm going to put you on the spot here, but it's a good spot.
All right.
But we gush. We do your pregame show, you know, for the Jaguars game, and we did a 10-play, like, Mahomes, oh, my gosh, and this all happened in 1 year. What's the greatest Mahomes play on the field, right? Just no practice. I don't want any of that. But what's the one that you, like, jumps out to you where you just go, that was
– I think probably the left-handed throw. I mean, it's one thing to do it and mess around with it in practice. It's another thing. And make it a legitimate throw. I mean, that's – with the game on the line.
Yeah.
You know, that, and being as young as he was when he did that.
Was that year one or year two that he did that?
I think it was year one when he was a starter.
His
second year. And so for him to do that in a real game, a big game, AFC West game.
Yeah,
I went, oh, now that's something. You know, we'll put that one in the file.
Can
he actually get better at this point, and if so, how?
Yeah, I think quarterbacks are like farmers. The work's never done, so they can always get better. And I guess you reach a point age-wise where things might go the other way. But I think he can. And he works so hard at his game. I mean, he's already started. He's back in grinding with the lifting part of it. And
made big improvements from last year to even this year.
And I think that just continues. You know, I think for the next few years, you're going to see that.
Oh, I know. He's unreal. Last thing, and I just want to dive back into this. The field. Yeah. When did you realize, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, London. This field is, like, a problem. How early in the process?
I thought you were talking about fish and chips.
We're live on Sky Sports.
No, I love London. They have the best fish and chips I think I've ever had. My gosh. It's unbelievable. Tell me the question again.
what was I saying? He's got
the field.
I was trying to deviate. Chips went all in my brain.
I was trying
too.
To deviate from the. But our kickers went out there the day before.
Yeah.
And had an opportunity to kick there. I guess it was Friday they went out. And so, the field they said it was great.
Right.
And so sometimes moisture and they open the roof and so a moisture can get in there and make it slippery. It was a beautiful field, though.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful thing. Yeah. So I don't know exactly what happened. I thought our equipment guy, you know, Alan Wright did a great job with the studs and the shoes. So,
I bet.
Yeah, so he made a little conversion change there, and we had enough shoes to do it with.
No, I know. That was the thing I worried about. These teams going to even be prepared for to have
so
those kind of shoes?
He had all the stuff ready to go, and we had played there that first game.
Right.
And
Bucker slipped on the opening kick or one of the kickoffs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we went in prepared for that type of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Coach, we thank you for your time. We're going to swap out the hot seat for your general manager, Brett.
No, he's a good one.
So
we'll keep the conversation on
the Super Bowl going. Right. Andy Reid, two-time Super Bowl winner, will be back.
How about
two-time Super Bowl winning GM Brett Veach right after this.
Thank you.